Welcome to the replay of our live weekly career coaching session. I am Michael Sherlock, the founder and leader of the Enlightened Workplace Community, where employees and leaders embark on a transformative journey towards enlightenment. Throughout my career, I have made it my purpose to guide professionals who are committed to their career development. I've successfully led teams of over 500 employees at a time, so I know firsthand how a person can grow in their career. I continue to do this today in our dynamic and engaging community where we collectively learn and develop together. Our topic for today is that it's never too late for a comeback. It's never too late for a comeback. Well, maybe sometimes it's too late for a comeback, but if you actually take the topic seriously today in many different areas of your life and work, you'll know what I mean by it's never too late for a comeback. But it takes work, and it takes guts, and it takes discomfort. And sometimes coming back and having a new comeback means that you have to do things maybe that you didn't want to do. So I don't know if any of you watched the Grammys the other night on Sunday night, but one of the most exciting elements to me was seeing Tracy Chapman perform live. I think since the 80s, she's only performed live like three times. And Luke Combs, who's a country singer, did a really nice another rendition of her song, Fast Car, which I was playing as you were coming in. And when he made this version of it, he was so true to her original song that he even used the words as if he was singing it like her being a woman. And I really, really appreciated the fact that he did that because it, to me, was really a nod of respect to the woman who made that song true. Made that song something that that was, you know, such an iconic song to so many people. And then to see her perform it at the Grammys was thrilling to me. It was absolutely thrilling and very chilling, actually. And if you watched it, or if you haven't, I would suggest Googling the Grammy performance with Luke Combs and Tracy Chapman, because it's just so powerful to watch. And she was, she had kind of tears in her eyes, and you could see Luke Combs was completely like blown away to be on the stage with her. And I've been listening to all the morning news shows talking about it the last couple of days, where they're saying, you know, you'd think that if he like did the recording of her, one of her most famous first songs, that maybe that he would have met her. And I don't know if he had or not, but he was clearly in awe of her. Now, so there's one thing to talk about that awe, but I wanted to know, like, really, you know, I hadn't really paid attention. So I Googled, why did Tracy Chapman stop performing? And so this is what came up on womanandhome.com. And it said, despite a successful music career and the global popularity of the song Fast Car, Tracy became somewhat reclusive after her 2009 tour and has rarely performed publicly since. Her last notable public performance came alongside a 2020 appearance on Late Night with Seth Meyers, during which she sang Talkin' 'Bout a Revolution in a bid to encourage people to vote in the 2020 election. What is amazing about that was the kind of the next line, but what sparked Tracy's decision to move away from music publicly and stop performing, the answer is seemingly that it was simply down to her desire to no longer be in the public eye, as she found it uncomfortable. She found it uncomfortable. Now, if my topic today is there's always time for a comeback, I also want to highlight the purpose or the point of uncomfortable, or rather discomfort. So for her to get up on that stage on Sunday night and perform live at the Grammys, knowing that since 2010, so 14 years, she's been mostly reclusive because the public eye was uncomfortable. What kind of courage did that take for her to get on that stage? You know, it's easy to look at a performer, a musical performer or an actor, and say, oh, they do that all the time. They're comfortable on stage. They're comfortable in that limelight. They love to be the center of attention. But the reality of that is that's not true for a large number of them. In fact, sometimes they get actually very, very uncomfortable. And some of them are actually much more comfortable playing another character that's not themselves. Because if they play a character that's not themselves, they don't have to live in their own mind and in their own discomfort sometimes at the moment. So going back to picking this song, Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, what's interesting also about the song, if you listen to all the lyrics, it's about keeping this idea that you're going to move out of your circumstances into something better. And yet, the characters in the song continue to take actions that leave them in their misery, that don't allow them to move past their misery. And I want you to think about this. Why is this my topic today? And how does living in your misery relate to there's always time for a comeback? It's because the decision to actually make a comeback or to change your circumstances requires discomfort. And it requires putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Now, when she was all done with that song the other night, Tracy Chapman looked ecstatic because people were so happy to see her. They were absolutely thrilled to see her live. But I bet you, if you really look close, you can also see her relief that it was over. Relief that it was over. Now, we might all be sitting here going, now Tracy Chapman got back on stage. Maybe she's ready to come back and make some new music. Or maybe she's ready to choose to become reclusive again. Because maybe even that one day was so uncomfortable. We won't know for a while. And it's pretty easy sometimes from an outside perspective to judge someone and say, well, why can't you just pull it together? Why can't you just get it all good inside and go back to your adoring fans and make music? But it's always easier to talk about that from the outside of what you want somebody else to do. And as you know, and if you spent any time with us here in the Enlightened Workplace, the definition of enlightenment from my perspective is the desire to and the willingness to and the actions that prove your desire and your willingness to look at yourself first. To look at yourself first. It's great to think that we can just all come to this weekly live session and we will create these amazing enlightened workplaces and that everyone will benefit from it. But the only way we make that happen is be committed to, willing to, absolutely desiring to change ourselves and then take the actions. Then take the actions. Because those actions require us to do something different. And in her song, Fast Car, she's talking about being raised in a life where her father was not providing for her, so she did. And then she wanted to have a new life with someone else, said, let's run away, and she did. And that person said, I want to run away with you too, and he did. And yet in the song, they both continue the cycle. So today's topic of there's always time for a comeback means that we always have the ability within us to choose to do things differently. The question is whether or not we do it. Now, it makes me wonder, like, who talked Tracy Chapman into going and being on the Grammys? And not only who talked her into it, but who helped her when she said yes, and then probably went, what did I just do? And then she said, okay, I can do it. And then what if I can't do it? Who said, okay, I'm going to get up on that stage, and moments before probably had her heart pounding, looking at all those people, saying, I can do this. Can I do this? I don't know. This is hard. Oh, I can do this. I've done it before. How many balancing emotions did she have? How many do we have?
So a couple weeks ago, I had a gentleman who is a manager of several, couple dozen people. And I worked with him and his company a little more than a year ago. And I did some consulting work with them, helping them to evaluate and assess their sales team. And so part of that process of that evaluation was meeting with each person and talking with them about what they liked about their job, what they didn't like about their job, how they defined success. Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That's how do you define success? And as we had these conversations, it was really interesting to me to see how the different individuals responded to development. Development. Look, we all have to develop. Just because I don't have a boss in my company doesn't mean I don't have to continue to develop. In fact, my business partner is my husband, who makes sure that in times that the business might not be strong, that we can still stay in business. So he is my business partner, and I have to develop for him. I have to develop for my team. I have to continually look at myself and say, am I doing the right things? Am I respecting my business partner? Am I respecting my employees? Am I respecting my mission? And so as I went through this process with this company that I was doing the consulting work with, it became very clear to me that at least three individuals on this team were completely not in touch, out of touch, completely out of touch with their commitment to the organization. And it's kind of a sad situation to be in, because you look at this and say, how can you be so disconnected from the mission, the goal to develop yourself? But basically, of these three people, two of them were kind of clueless, and one of them was just downright cranky. And the one who was downright cranky had a lot to say about how it wasn't right and what was not going well and how they weren't being treated fairly and why they should make more money and why it was the expectation on his part that the company deliver all those things to him with a bow and say, thank you so much for being alive, being in my company. Instead of recognizing that he still had areas that needed to be developed. And so when I gave the feedback to the gentleman who's the sales manager, I remember saying to him, you've got three people, you've got 20 some people who are great. They are dedicated. They are enthusiastic. They want more. They want more training. They want more time with you. They want more development. And I said, you've got three who are a problem. Now, he knew right away who those three are, because those people tend to show their problematic sides in many different ways. And he said, well, what is your evaluation of these three? Do you think I can get them to turn around? I always call that rehabilitation. Can I rehabilitate someone? And rehabilitate in my mind means I hired you for a reason, but you're not where I want you to be anymore, or where you were before, or where I want you to go. So can I rehabilitate you? It's like having a broken leg. Can you rehabilitate and get that leg to work as well as it did before, if not better? And the only way to rehabilitate a leg is to get up and move it and to stretch it or to get physical therapy. If you have a hip replacement or a knee replacement, decades ago, the doctors wanted you to lay in bed until everything healed. Now, when you get a hip replacement or a knee replacement, they want you up and moving within an hour or so of your surgery. Why? Because they want you to continue to work that part of your body to keep it in motion. And so when I said to him, with these three people on your team that are not performing the way I would want them to, and he agreed, he knew that, I said, here's the thing with two of them. I believe that if you give them some good direct coaching, you're very clear on what your expectations are. They will rise to the occasion. They seem hungry for it, but they're too nervous and uncomfortable to ask you for direction, to ask you for feedback, to ask you for support, to ask you for different training. And I said, now that comes down to you as a leader, because you're going to have to watch these things to make sure that you're asking the right questions. I said, but with this other person, he clearly does not want to be developed. He does not want to be coached. He does not want to see where he might not be perfect in his own mind. And although I believe he could make a change if he chose to, I really don't think he will. So we talked about different strategies, how to coach this person, how to develop them. But every once in a while, you will have somebody who is just simply unwilling to change. And that's too bad. Because as we talked about last week, the only person you really actually can change is you. But that doesn't mean you can't influence somebody to change, or you can't coax them or give them the opportunity or talk with them or beg and plead them to please change. So what's interesting is talked to this gentleman, the sales manager, a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know, I haven't checked in with you for so long. Let's call this guy John Smith. So how's John's, you know, what did you ever do with John Smith? And what I really, really expected to hear was that he had terminated John Smith. That was kind of the path that we were going. And I really expected that. And he said, well, you know, he's still a problem. And I said, he's still a problem after almost a year and a half? Why is he still a problem? Why is he still on your team if he's a problem? And the manager said, well, he performs well enough. And I'm afraid if I lose him, that we'll lose some business. So interestingly, when we got done with the conversation, he told me that one of his star employees had actually put in her notice a couple weeks before. And I said, really? Well, that's interesting. She was very, very happy. And he goes, yeah, I know. It's really a bummer. I'm very disappointed. I really didn't see this coming. He goes, hey, you know, she really likes you. Would you mind meeting with her and kind of, you know, figure out what went wrong? Have kind of an exit interview of sorts. I said, sure. So I emailed her and I said, hey, you know, would you like to just get together and have a little chat? I'd love to know where you're going, what's going on. So luckily she met with me and she said this to me. I actually had to quit because working with John Smith was making me crazy. He was such a jerk to work with. He always was a know-it-all. He was very disruptive. And she goes, I just have had enough. Now, I want you to think about this. If you're a leader of people and your star employee leaves because of someone else's bad behavior, who's really at fault? Is it that bad employee or is it the leadership? So leadership is a tough thing because sometimes you have to do things that are uncomfortable. You have to have frank conversations. You have to have difficult conversations. You have to put people on performance improvement plans. Sometimes you have to talk to them about, here's the make it or break it. Sometimes you find out that you're not there supporting them enough. Sometimes you find out that they have talents and skills you never knew of. Sometimes they just do well on their own and you're so thankful. But what we had here is a lot of different pieces that went wrong. But when I look back at this John Smith person, they did walk him through ways to improve after I met with them a year and a half ago or so. So his manager did meet with him and said, here's where we want you to focus on. Here's what we want you to do. Now, the problem here then is that he would do just enough to keep off the really bad list, off the really naughty list. And so from leadership standpoint, they said, well, it's not bad enough. So now where's the challenge? Is the challenge really in leadership? Yes, still, they should have held him accountable, should have taken him through that. But John Smith never said, this is important enough to me to recognize when somebody's trying to support me in my growth. Tracy Chapman probably did not want to get on that stage at the Grammys on Sunday night. It was uncomfortable. It probably was nerve-wracking. She had to practice and do that also in front of people, which if she made a mistake, might feel a little nerve-wracking, a little uncomfortable. But she did it and she showed up. I hope she's happy about it. I know the rest of the world is happy about it. But when we as leaders and employees recognize areas where we need to develop, where we need to move past our comfort zones, to move into the uncomfortable zone, that is all on us. It is all on us. Should our leaders, or in my case, my business partner, help give some guidance, give some recognition? Yes, absolutely. But if you really want to have a comeback, whether it's because maybe you're not in the best place in your job right now, maybe it's because you're still in a great place, but you're looking for something new. You're looking for a promotion. You're looking for a new opportunity. You're looking for a new challenge. Maybe you're in your job and you are doing such an amazing job, but you know there's more you could do. Maybe a different position in the company. Maybe it's you're building your nonprofit and you know that even though you've been doing good enough, there is more. You could ask for that meeting that's a little more nerve-wracking, that's a little more uncomfortable. You're asking for a face-to-face with somebody to ask for funding at a different level. Maybe you've had a donor that's always funded you at X amount of dollars, but you know they can fund at Y, and that Y amount of dollars is so much bigger. This is when self-reflection allows you to choose your comeback. Your comeback. Your comeback. Your choice. Always your choice. In the coaching group that I work with called Business Miracles, we have a saying called re-return. And the re-return means that sometimes you're going to get off track. Sometimes you're going to make a mistake. Sometimes you're going to stumble. Sometimes you're going to do something really wrong. Sometimes you're going to do something really right. Sometimes you're going to be on fire. But those moments where things are off track, you always have the choice to re-return, to re-return, to start again, to make a comeback, even if it is today, I will show up as my very best. Today, I will show up doing one more thing that I did before. Today, if I haven't received feedback, I'm going to ask for feedback. And I'm going to accept that feedback openly, honestly, willingly. And I'm going to assume positive intent. I always say that there is definitely a number of people, there always will be a percentage of people who really are not great leaders. They're not great workers. They're not great colleagues or coworkers. There's always going to be a certain percentage. But I know there's always going to be those people. But in honesty, they're a very small number of people. I mean, really, for the most part, nobody really, okay, somebody, there might be somebody there out there, but virtually no people wake up every morning and go, today I'm going to suck at my job. Today I'm going to do the worst job I can possibly do. Today I'm going to make everybody's life miserable that I work with. Today I'm going to do everything I can to make somebody cry. That's not the norm. Yet sometimes when we receive feedback, we assume that it comes with intent to harm us or to hold us down or to be powerfully abusive. But if we recognize that 99% of the time we are humans dealing with humans, we will recognize that sometimes our bad day impacts others. We will recognize that if we're not great at something, maybe that might screw something up for somebody else. Maybe we can recognize that if I didn't ask for help or guidance because I was too afraid to, too uncomfortable to, that maybe there's repercussions to that. If I don't ask for help or guidance and I miss a deadline because I was too nervous to ask for help or guidance, Can I reflect on that and instead say, wow, what did I just cost myself? What did I cost our company? What did I cost my coworkers? What did I cost my employees? And those costs come up in different ways. But again, I want to bring it back to Tracy Chapman, because I don't know her, but I've always loved her music. Her music haunts me because it's about that balance between what you really want and whether or not you have the courage to take the steps to get there. When they're uncomfortable, when it's hard, when it's a little different, when it feels uncomfortable, when it makes you uncomfortable, when it makes you nervous. And try and ask yourself instead, can I be curious about my nervousness? Can I be curious about my discomfort? Can I be curious as to how I could change this situation? Can I be curious about what might be a positive result from something like asking for guidance or asking input or actually assuming positive intent? Can I be curious? Again, I'm just making an assumption on this, but I'm assuming that whenever whoever came to Tracy Chapman and said, we'd like you to perform at the 2024 Grammys and sing with Luke Combs, who's redone your most famous first song, Fast Car, I imagine that at the beginning, she had all those fears, discomfort, nervousness. Oh my gosh, I can't. 1,000 reasons why in her head. It should not work, could not work, would not work in any reality. But at some point, maybe she got curious. Could it work? Would it work? Should it work? How could that be? How could I do this? How could I do this? And assume instead of my nervousness that there's going to be hundreds of people in that room and millions of people around the world watching who actually want me to succeed. People who want me to succeed. People who want me to succeed. I've never hired someone that I didn't want to succeed. Ever. Why would I do that? How silly would that be? You know, I'm going to hire you for this job, but really, I think you're going to suck at it. You're going to be terrible. You're never going to make it work. But you know what? I like throwing good money at bad ideas. There's never anyone who does that. But I do know that when I coach people and I try to develop them and I work with them, or I get my team to coach and develop their team, that that's all done with positive intent. To get them to a place of a comeback. When Tom Brady made the decision to leave the New England Patriots, at first, everybody thought he was just going to retire. Well, I think actually that's what he announced right first. So he was going to retire. And then all of a sudden, magically, he's got this huge deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which you knew was in the motion, and they were just waiting to have it all come together for the right number. But people called it a comeback. And then he went to Tampa Bay and he won a Super Bowl that year. So is that really a comeback? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he did retire for like a week. And then he retired for another week and then came back and it wasn't so great. But in the middle of this, Wayne Gronk, well, let's call him the Gronk. I don't know if it's Wayne. I don't know where I came up with Wayne. Anyway, the Gronk, you know, who he and Tom Brady were like this, but the Gronk actually did retire for that first, you know, for a year. And then he came back to play again and he played with Tom. And his comeback was phenomenal. But I know one thing is true. He didn't go for a year of retirement and then just step back on the football field. He said, if I'm going to come back and I'm going to make a comeback, I'm going to start working as hard as I can to ensure that my comeback is positive. Because I don't want to just show up for the first day of practice and be bad. I want to bring my A game. So bringing my A game means I have to start working out in ways that I haven't for a year. I'm going to have to stretch muscles that I haven't for a year. I'm going to have to start getting hit again on the field in ways that I haven't in a year. I'm going to have to start attending meetings and learning new game plays that that I haven't done in a year. And by the way, now I'm going to do it on a whole different team with people I don't know. You want to talk about something that's uncomfortable? That was probably pretty uncomfortable. I'm actually glad he retired again, because I think that at some point in time, you should not play professional football because your body just can't take it. But we as employees, as entrepreneurs, as leaders, as colleagues, should be asking ourselves every day, are we showing up today, resting on our laurels of yesterday? Or am I showing up today to prove what I'm capable of today? Even if I was great, even if I've been the top salesperson in my company for 25 years, if I show up tomorrow expecting that I'm great just because I've always been great, but I'm not willing to adapt to a new sales process, I'm not willing to spend the time learning about our product that's brand new, I'm not willing to go be uncomfortable and talk to new customers and do something different, then pretty soon I have the diminishing return that gets less and less and less. A comeback requires work. A comeback requires mindset change. A comeback requires using muscles, whether it's physical muscles to go on the football field or it's mental muscles to recognize your opportunities to grow, requires work. It requires work. So you may be listening to this today saying, okay, but Michael, this is great. I'm doing great in my job right now. I don't have anything that, you know, anybody's trying to tell me to do better. I am feeling like everything is perfect. Then my next question for you is, okay, that's wonderful. But what do you want next? What do you want next? So we all set out with big goals for 2024. And last week, which was the last day of the first month of the entire year, where we looked at the benchmark of being 1/12th through our year, and maybe 1/12th towards our big, big goal or goals. My question is, can you look back and reflect on that and do an assessment to say, what muscles do I still need to work out to continue to achieve my goal? Am I ahead of my target? Am I on target? Or am I behind target? If I'm ahead of target, did I set a lofty enough goal? If I'm on target, am I feeling comfortable? Am I doing this? Do I have a good rhythm? If I'm behind target, am I starting to give up and let that race go? Or am I stepping on the gas to get going on it? I have completed one marathon in my lifetime. I can't really say I ran at all because I did a lot of walking. My goal was to finish, to complete the marathon. And my goal personally was to complete the marathon in 6 hours or less. I crossed the finish line at 6 hours, 1 minute and 10 seconds. And you know, for a long time, I was like, man, I failed my goal. And then I thought, wait, first of all, the main goal was finish the marathon. And I had no idea how long it was going to take me. And I set just a random goal of 6 hours and I pretty much made it. That's pretty good. I think I can handle that as success. But my point in the story about the marathon is we were watching in the beginning where they have the elite racers. And by the way, for all my people on here from Kenya, it's always so fun to see all the Kenyan runners because they're just, I love it. Where I used to live in Spokane, Washington, we had a big 10K race it's the first Saturday of each May. And every year a Kenyan wins it. It's amazing to me. But so basically there's like almost all Kenyans in the head of the elite racers, and they were showing the men's race. And then this man came out of nowhere. I don't know what country he was from, but he came out of nowhere. This was probably halfway through the marathon. And he blew by all the lead guys, just blew by them. So he's probably a half a block ahead of them. And I thought, isn't that interesting? This guy just wanted to blow past everybody. And he held that place for quite a long time, probably for, I don't know, maybe 5 miles. And during that time, I kept thinking, what are all the other elite runners thinking? Like, are they just going to let him go? Are they watching him? Are they drafting off him? Are they waiting for him to trip and fail? Are they getting nervous? Are they getting uncomfortable? Does he think he's got this in the bag when there's still another 10 miles to go? And as I'm trying to understand the psyche of all this, I realized if you really watched the faces of the other runners, they're like, go for it. We still have 10 miles to go on this. We know how to run the race for us that's smart. I know my body. I know when I put on the gas. I know how to achieve the goal of finishing this in the top three. You want to run out there in front and go get everybody's attention? Great. That might be your thing. Maybe that's going to get you some more sponsors, whatever. But as the miles, after that 5 miles where he was in the front, you could see him start to falter. You could see him start to slow down. You saw the moments of panic in his eyes. Just a little bit. Just a little more exhaustion. Because he wasn't running the race that was right for him. When he finally fell back, I don't even know what place he ended in the, you know, in the elite runners. And I mean, frankly, just to be an elite runner and be in that first group is amazing. These are the best of the best in the world. And yet, he chose not to take what his body was saying. He chose not to take the information that he knew about how to run the race and not try and win it in the first half. He wasn't ready for a comeback because he wanted to rush to the finish line. And don't we try and do that too? When somebody says, hey, I have an area of development for you, don't we want to rush in real fast and impress them so that they get off our backs? If only I can just do what they ask, then they'll leave me alone and I'll be back to running my own race. But why instead don't we say, what do I know about this race I'm running? Can I be looking around me to see what I can learn from others? Can I be assuming positive intent of my body and what's telling me? Can I actually push myself a little farther, maybe? What about the person who doesn't push themselves to the front because they're a little hesitant? Maybe they had an injury. I don't know why I have so many sporting analogies today, although we did start with Tracy Chapman. But my question is this: are you ready for a comeback? Now, the comeback again doesn't mean because you're failing right now. It doesn't mean because things aren't perfect or that because somehow you're in trouble. But can the comeback be, you know, the last couple of weeks, maybe I haven't had my head fully in the game. Can I come back? Can I re-return? But can I re-return better? If maybe I'm just kind of slightly behind my goals, can I have a comeback that is of renewed energy tomorrow? If I'm a little disappointed because something didn't happen that I wanted to, maybe a meeting didn't pan out the way I wanted to, maybe a sales opportunity didn't come through, and so I'm disappointed, can I have a comeback? Can I have a comeback? So interesting, I submitted a training proposal to somebody a couple weeks ago. And when you submit a training proposal, at least with me, it's usually because somebody has come to me and they've said, you know, I would like to know about what you charge. This is what we're looking at. And so then you take the time, you put together the proposal, you send it out, and then you don't hear anything. It's just whispers, crickets, or silence. And then you start to fill that silence in with your own headspace. Oh, maybe it was too much I asked for. Maybe I'm charging too much. Maybe I didn't ask enough. Maybe I undervalued myself. Maybe they don't like me at all. I don't even know why they called me. Oh my gosh, maybe this is never going to work. Maybe they're never going to hire me again. And we can fill that space with a lot of what ifs. Or we can say, I'm going to come back from this. I'm going to come back from my mental space. And after 2 weeks of not having any feedback, you can send a little note that says, hey, just checking in, see if you want my proposal. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Did I charge too much? You can talk yourself into a lot of different scenarios, but you really don't know. So you know what I did? I came back to him and I said, hey, I was wondering if you'd help me with something. I'm really working on adding more LinkedIn recommendations to my profile. Would you do one for me? Didn't ask about the proposal. didn't make any assumptions, even though, yes, my head always goes to it. He got right back to me and said, oh, yes. And I want to follow up with you next week about your sales proposal or your training proposal. I'm like, great, no problem. So the comeback for me was, if I go down one path mentally, can I come back from a path that might be taking me down the wrong direction? My boss gave me constructive feedback, and therefore I suck. Can I come back from that and say, my boss gave me constructive feedback because they want me to succeed? This sales target didn't respond to my message, or someone I was reaching out to didn't respond to my email or didn't accept my LinkedIn request. So therefore, they don't want to have anything to do with me. Can I come back from that instead and say, huh, maybe they don't check their email often. Maybe they aren't even on LinkedIn. Maybe I want to do something different in the approach. Maybe I didn't even send them a LinkedIn connection request. Maybe I should do that. What can I do differently? Maybe it is for our nonprofit, we're trying to gain a new large sponsor. But the company that we went to said no. If I'm on this path that says, oh, we gave them a proposal, they said no, can I stage a comeback that says, thank you so much for considering our proposal. Would you be willing to have a meeting with me to talk about what would make a more compelling proposal? Can we look at comebacks not as going back on the Grammy stage, not as going back on the football field, not as coming back from being behind in the marathon to actually go ahead and win, but can we look as comebacks as little opportunities every day to prove what we can do, to support our positive belief in others, to support a positive belief in ourselves? It is all about perspective. Absolutely. It is. But the comeback that sometimes we think means that we're going to come back better and bigger than ever, our perspective could be, how can I come back from disappointment right now? How can I come back from frustration right now? How can I come back from something that didn't work? How can I come back to just saying, I've been out because I haven't been feeling well? And maybe my comeback is not trying to jump back in and do 1,000 things at once, but to come back with the perspective of do the most important thing first. My comeback might be, I forgot to create my weekly focus. Therefore, I'm going to go through the whole week and just not have one. I'll just play around. Or could my comeback be, I'm going to plan tomorrow out better. And then tomorrow, I'm going to plan the next couple days. And then by Friday, I'm really going to make sure I'm planning ahead for next week. We always have time for a comeback.
Thank you for completing the session today. Your journey doesn't end here. Make sure to supplement what you learned today by completing the suggested assignments that will contribute to your ongoing growth and progress. While many individuals aspire to develop their careers, not everyone is willing to make the necessary commitment and maintain consistency in their development. It's important to remember that true progress and advancement requires dedication. If you have any questions or feedback, please post it on the virtual water cooler. And in case you missed any of our previous sessions, don't worry. Gold and Platinum members access them on our training platform anytime. If you aren't yet a Gold or Platinum member, click on the upgrade link to learn more. But for now, we'll see you in our next live session.